This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. It's Marathon Week at Walt Disney World 2014. It's time to start thinking about those 2014 vacation plans. Be it a Disney destination or any destination, you need to go see the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel to make 2014 the best vacation year yet for you. So go visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
This is Jeff from Texas, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 136 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, and who's doing double duty today because we're both running, and our guest is also running the 5K as we speak, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Yes, I'm running and podcasting. I know we somehow, through the miracles of technology, we have muted all the crowd in the back. But
oh, how you doing?
Yeah,
hey.
Good to see you.
Hey,
there's Mickey. So yes, we're here. So I'm excited to be warm, or I will be when we play this. And I have a great shout out today because I love to do a shout out to people who are new to running and also who have achieved things that they haven't before. And somebody on our Facebook page, Jackie Bringhurst Schmidt, did her first about a 6 mile run today, and she's, you could just see the excitement oozing off the Facebook page. So Jackie, that's really terrific, and we look forward to hearing your I don't know if you're doing the 10K while you're here or what your plans are, but keep it up. That's great job.
That's right, and I can hardly wait to finish this 5K and have brunch with everybody.
Yes, we're gonna have brunch.
Okay, so today we have an interesting topic, and it's a topic that deals with the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, and we came across this topic while reading a blog entitled Run Knit Travel, which is a blog that is written by our guest, and she is Karen Neubauer, and she hails from Richmond, Kentucky. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here, and the reason why we have you here is because you posted a very interesting blog that discusses the corrals and finish times for the 2013 Walt Disney World Half Marathon and what it's looking like for this year. Michelle?
Yeah, one of the things that everybody knows is that they increased the number of corrals, and they went from 7. From 9 to 17. And boy, did that cause a buzz on the internets. People had lots and lots to say about it. But Karen rolled up her sleeves and pulled out her statistical software and started to look at the numbers and wrote a really interesting, it turned out to be a series of blogs, right, Karen?
Yes, it did. I ended up doing, I think, 3 in total about the topic.
Yeah, and we'll post the link on our show notes if you haven't read it. But we're wondering what prompted you to write this?
Well, actually, there was a couple things. I was a little bit bored in my dissertation topic, talking about higher ed and finances there. And I just wanted to take a break and do something. And I also had read something on another blog, Live, Run, and Grow, about how she was frustrated with her corral placement. And it really got me thinking. I'm running this weekend as well, and I'm doing the Dopey Challenge. And I know my corral placement was a lot lower than what I had expected from running the Goofy in the previous year. I'm normally like a B corral person, and I was at H corral. So it really made me start to think what was going on with the corrals, and if I could, as you say, roll up your sleeves and just let the data kind of speak for itself and get some answers to what the big changes were.
So one of the things that has been a complaint in the past few years is that people have had to wait a long time in between the releases of the corrals. And So you kind of looked at the numbers to, you know, to kind of see what was going on in the different corrals. And before we kind of dig into it a little bit more, were you unhappy? I mean, well, you're in Corral B, so maybe not, but.
No, I'm actually in Corral H this year.
No, I know, before you were in Corral B. So, I mean, that wasn't too long of a wait for you.
But. No, it wasn't. And to be quite honest, Michelle, like, when I run the Disney races, I run them strictly for fun. I don't have an expectation for a personal best. I just run to be with my friends and to have an excuse to wear a costume and to get up at 5 a.m. to get out there and run and have fun and then go into the parks afterwards. So whether I was an H or B or J, it really made no difference to me.
So I guess to address maybe the time in between the corrals, Disney made the corrals smaller, but made more of them. And this kind of, I don't know if it was an ego thing with people or just a waiting thing, but boy, people really, really responded and had very strong feelings about it. Don't you agree?
I mean, I do agree. I think, you know, people that had traditionally been in an A corral, you know, in that A, I'm an A type of person, were a little disappointed that they got bumped to a B or C corral. But if you look at it, the corrals with the addition of the few extra corrals there, I mean, each corral is about 60 to 65% smaller than the previous year. So hopefully with the smaller corrals that there'll be less bottlenecking when you're starting the races. Because I know that has always been an issue for me. The races that I've run is probably the first 2 or 3 miles. There's some serious bottlenecking and you're kind of trying to dodge people a little bit. So hopefully with the smaller corrals, and I believe they're also changing the wave times. So there was normally about, I think, 5 to 8 minutes between releases of the waves.
I think so, yeah.
From what I'm understanding now, that release will be about 1 to 2 minutes. So even if you're in a, let's say, a D or an E corral, and you were in a B last year, you're probably going to be going out about the same time. So, you know, once you add up the holding times. So, I mean, I think it's all relative.
Well, you know, Karen, I'm thinking that the way that the corrals have been arranged for this year, and you did a very good job of explaining what the effect will be of how they've put together the corrals this year. My thought is that with less crowding, my feeling is that most people may turn out to, well, I guess they won't, because if they're doing the dopey, they're going to be very careful. But those who are running singular races may find that the corral arrangement may actually help them achieve a better time. But what I'd like you to do is I would love for you to bring our audience up to speed on the three blogs that you wrote, and so that we can give everybody a perspective of where we're coming from. And then I'd like to talk about the reaction you got from those blogs. So could you give us sort of a elevated talk on the three blogs?
And I just wish we had your PowerPoint presentation to go along with us.
Yes, exactly.
That could be a blessing and a curse, I think. Being a finance person, I tend to like over present stuff sometimes. So, it's hard for me to get to the 50,000 foot view. Sometimes I live in that 10,000 foot view. But my first blog was just in general about the corral changes and really just taking all the races and breaking them down as far as what the corrals were for the 13 year versus the 14 year and doing that remapping. And I think also it included the proof of time in there, so people knew exactly what the proof of time was for each one of the races. There are going to be about 5,000 less runners this year, which is, you know, kind of, I scratched my head at that. I mean, this is Disney. I mean, how can there be less? But just based off of the three main races of the half, the full, and then the goofy challenge, and now the dopey, there'll be about 5,000 less racers. But with them picking up the 10K and the dopey, it still kind of neutralized it. But they're going to make more money at it, which is amazing. I mean, I applaud Disney for that. I think they're sheer geniuses, I think, when it comes to things like that. So my first corral just really talked about the overall effect of, you know, if you were in an A in 2013, would you be in an A again in 2014? So that was kind of interesting. And then I kind of dug in a little bit more on my ladder blogs, and really kind of broke out my statistical software, SPSS, to really dive into the results of the half and then the full marathon and compared them against what the corrals that they were assigned did. Really, my overarching question was, the corral you were placed in, did you finish in that expected time required? And so I had spent the two blocks breaking down the numbers for the half and the full on that.
And what do you think? What's the answer to your question?
In
10 words or fewer.
10 words or fewer. That's kind of hard. I think in the half marathon, when I looked at the results and I compared it against what their corral placements, I think it was spot on. Like the median time that people finished with was right in line with where they should have been in their corrals. So it actually ended up being a slightly under, not by much, by probably about 14 seconds, but it was still good. So, you know, my question that I had hanging out from that was that, you know, what did Track Shack or Run Disney use to actually place people in the corral? Was it the proof of time from the 10K or other half, or was it, what people had submitted as their estimated time? So it kind of left another hanging question out there for me. But in large part, I think everybody finished exactly where they were supposed to based off of their assigned corrals.
So interesting. So go ahead.
I was saying that for the marathon, it was a little bit different. Based off of the corral placements and the proof of time or the time required that you were supposed to be in those corrals, it was way off. I think for the A corral, they wanted you to have a finish in 3 hours and 50 minutes. And really the median time for that A corral was 4 minutes and 5 seconds.
Four hours and five seconds.
Mm-hmm. So 4 hours and 5 minutes. So it was a little bit different. I didn't really dig too much deeper to do a lot of analytical study on, you know, the outliers of the data. But, you know, I did think it was interesting. I did take it one step further because I think on the Live, Run, and Grow blog, she had basically had questioned, you know, about the corral placement and did it matter per se. And really, when she broke it down like that to me, I really thought about it and I said, well, you know, I think for the marathon time, I do think they might have missed the mark where people, they might have used their estimated time to complete, which could be very different, you know, as fellow runners that run outside of Disney events, you know, what you might run a normal marathon and what you might run a Disney marathon are two different things.
Just because of the wow factor, the characters and things like that.
Absolutely.
And not many people run for PR in the Disney race. Well, we would think they don't.
Right.
So how did you, where did you get your data? What numbers are you analyzing?
Well, I actually took Disney's results. I used it from their website. I had to actually pull the data. There wasn't one big file. So I did probably spend about an hour and a half pulling all the data down because I had to pull it by age group and by gender and put it all into an Excel file so that I could import it into my statistical software. So that was a little time consuming to do that. But
Wow. Again, don't let your dissertation advisor hear this.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That shows a lot of drive.
Well, I had these questions out there that I wanted answered. And, you know, I'm sure other people had those based off responses. I think people had the same, they were scratching their heads, what's going on?
I'll tell you, anybody who is enamored by numbers and statistics would have a wonderful time reading your December 16th blog, because you really break down the numbers. And what's kind of funny, Karen, is that it sounds like in many instances you were assuming certain things, and then when you dug deep with the statistics, you found that maybe that assumption, and I'm guessing that a lot of us make those kinds of assumptions, let me back up again. We all make assumptions, and then when we look at the numbers, we find that maybe we're not always correct. So, for instance, you said you talked about people running a certain speed, and you said surely people would want to stop and take pictures along the way so that they would slow them down, right? And then you said, nope, wrong. And then you said if you looked at the time required to get in the corral, pretty spot on for the median for time, so that tells you that people in large are running within the corral placement time. But you did a lot of other things that that really, I have to commend you because you really dug deep, and you might say, you did the deep dive on this.
I did spend a little bit of time, probably a little bit more than I would have liked on these particular blogs, but it did combine my love for numbers and something I love, running Disney, that it just grew. I really had only planned on doing one post about it, but it just, like you said, the data just kept, I was thinking one thing and then something would come back different. And I think, an example, Mike, for that was with the goofy and the non-goofy people. There had been some ideas that maybe the people running the running goofy, were going to run slower, so they should be in the latter corrals. Well, I mean, when I looked at the results in either the half or the full marathon, the people that were just running that race versus the people that were running goofy, so running both those races, their time was very similar. So it's not like the goofy people were running any slower, which really surprised me because I will admit last year when I ran goofy for the first time, I did run the marathon a little bit slower because I did stop for pictures. But it's, if you look at the people that were signed up for goofy versus running the full solo, their times were very similar as far as the median finish time. There wasn't that big of a difference, and I completely expected there to be a difference.
Why do you think, like you had mentioned, the those who were running the goofy ran faster than those who were running just the half marathon? Is there any explanation for that? Can you point to any one factor that would, explain that?
I couldn't find anything in the data, but then again, I kind of had to stop digging a little bit. I just, again, would have assumed that the people that were in the Goofy Challenge would have run slower, but it could be the fact that they were, if they're like me right now and they're preparing for the Dopey, they're just conditioned. I mean, I'm in the third day of my Dopey simulation, so I ran 13 miles this morning and I'll run 20 tomorrow. So you might be just conditioned to be able to sustain that level of running over that period of time, whereas, if you're just training for a half, you're only training for X amount of miles or a full.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, one of the things that I like about your blogs is that you really kind of show the data in a lot of different ways. And you have a graphic here where you kind of show the corrals and the way that they used to be, like, kind of blocking off who used to be in A, who used to be in C, who used to be in B. And I like that you kind of presented it in a variety of different ways so you can really see what's going on. But one of the things that you talked about before was, how there may be fewer bottlenecks. And I was noticing that in 2013, it looks like there's between 5,000 and maybe 5,700 people in the corrals, and now the range goes from the elite, of course, it's going to be just small, 88, up to the last corral where there's about 5,400. So I'm thinking that to break out the corrals and kind of further delineate the times, maybe I'll be in a corral with people who are more at my natural pace. Because if you look at 5,500, there's going to be a huge range there. But if you say, okay, it's 2,500 or it's 1,600, people are going to be around the same pace. And it makes sense that the bottleneck would be a lot less. It'd probably be more comfortable for everybody.
Well, I mean, I know I've run a few Disney races, and I'm really counting on that this year, that there'll be less of a bottleneck. Because if you look at when you upload your Garmin data and you look at your path, I know I can actually see where I've kind of had to zigzag. And last year I did run a little bit more than 26.2 when I ran the marathon. So I think it was closer to that 27 mile once you added in all the zigzags and that type of thing. So hopefully there'll be less of a bottleneck. And I think, you know, we'll have to take the wait and see attitude to actually see what happens.
Now, did you do a wine and dine? I can't. You have a big race list here, but I can't remember if that was on it.
I didn't do wine and dine this year, but I had done wine and dine the previous year.
Okay.
So
because they've already started to. I don't know if they were maybe experimenting with this, but they've already started these stagger corrals at wine and dine. They tried it, and I thought it went very, very smoothly as long as people listen to the volunteers, because they have a ribbon in between the corrals, and a volunteer is holding a ribbon across the front of the corral as people walk up, and it goes a lot faster. You're walking a lot more, but I thought it went very, very smoothly. So I'm wondering if that was the testing period. So Karen, I'm wondering, and we talked about the feedback that you got, what sort of feedback did you hear? What were you surprised about? And what made you want to dig in a little bit more? Cause you followed up with two more blogs.
Well, I mean, I think I was just, overall, I was surprised about the feedback I got and some of the comments. Some actually, you know, gave me some good positive feedbacks. Others, maybe I didn't think as much. But, I mean, that's what happens when you put yourself out there and put your opinion out there. You're really subject to, you know, both critical and, you know, criticism, I guess. So, I mean, I was okay with all the comments, and it made me think a little bit more. Again, I think the comments, there was the lady that writes for Live, Run, and Grow, she had responded, and it really had triggered a lot of me thinking. It's kind of, you know, when you're doing your dissertation, you have a topic in mind, and then I always call it scope creep, where all of a sudden you start to research something, and then, you know, 15 things fall out of it. And that's really what she helped me do, was to think a little bit more and say, well, you know, let me think about this. And you did have a couple of good points. And, you know, I think the point that she really hammered into me that I really had to dig in a little bit more was the people that were doing a goofy challenge versus just running running one race. Because I think that was one of her criticisms for this year with the 2014 placement, was when she had contacted Track Shack. Track Shack had made a point to say that, oh, well, people that are running Dopey, they're going to be tired, so they should be in the lower corrals anyway. And I think the results prove from 2013 that that's not the case, that people that ran Goofy finished in about the same time as individuals, you know, only running one race.
So, yeah. So one of the things that I noticed that people, I think it gave them a chance to vent too.
Absolutely.
And one of the two comments that I noticed was, number one, I have whatever time, you know, I gave a 5 hour time and my friend gave a 5 hour time and they're two corrals ahead of me, or I gave a 5 hour time and my friend gave a 5.5 hour time and they're two corrals ahead of me.
Right.
So there seems to be a lot of, worry and, you know, just kind of head scratching about that aspect of it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I couldn't really respond to that. I mean, I didn't call.
Oh, no. I know. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm a victim, I guess, you know, I'll say I'm a victim of that too, because, I have a Disney running partner in crime, Fred, who talked me into Goofy last year and roped me into Dopey this year. And, he's run Boston. I mean, he's very much a faster runner than me. And he's actually, I'm an H and he's an I. And so, you know, I kind of scratched my head about that. I'm like, I know you've had, you know, my half marathon time was 2:03 that I submitted. And I know he's a sub 2 hour. So, and I know he runs marathons more regularly. So I did scratch my head about that. And I think what I boiled it down to was for the Dopey challenge, you know, kind of maybe looking and listening to people a little bit more. I think what they might have ended up using was what your estimated finish time was. And this was kind of another thing that came out of the blog, was comments in reference to, you know, what do you put down as your estimated finish time? Do you put down as if you were running Chicago and that would be your finish time? Or do you put it down knowing that you're running Disney and you're going to stop a few times for pictures? Because that could really change the time that you submit. And I think there was some variety to that where people just put down maybe, you know, as if they were running a non-Disney race opposed to running a Disney race. And I think that maybe is where some of the differentiation in the corral placement ended up for the people running Dopey.
I think you've got a point there, Karen, because I know that for me, if I do a similar distance race, a non-Disney event, let's take a half marathon, for example, I'm more likely to run maybe 15, maybe as much as 20 minutes faster away from doing a non-Run Disney half marathon event than I would doing a Run Disney half marathon event. So you may have a point there. I wanted to ask the both of you something. What do you think drives people's venting over these corral placements? Do you think it's ego? Do you think they're worried about coming in too slow, which you know, it really isn't the case because their time is based on chip time. Why do you think people are upset about the corral placements? Michelle?
I do think it's ego. I mean, I know that I did the marathon last year. I actually don't know what my bib says, but I know I'm not as speedy as Karen, but I'm several corrals back. And it kind of is a statement about how fast you are or how slow you are. When I sit down and think about it for more than 5 seconds, I completely agree with what Karen said. I'm not there to do a PR. And doing Dopey, I'm just there just to get through Dopey. But I think there's like a visceral sort of, I worked hard all year and I had maybe a half marathon that was a better time. I should have been up a little bit higher. But, in the end, I wouldn't post anything online saying I'm really unhappy where I'm placed. I think in the end it's going to work out better. I think that maybe I'm Pollyanna, but I give people the benefit of the doubt. And I think Track Shack and Run Disney are trying to do a better job to service the 26,000 people who are running. So that's what I think. Karen, what do you think?
I mean, I completely agree with you, Michelle. I think some of it's ego. I mean, I will speak from experience. When I ran my first Disney race, it was Princess back in 2009. I got an A corral. No idea how I got an A corral, but I got an A corral, and I've never had an A corral since. So it only went downhill from that. But anytime I run Disney, I don't run it for time. And again, whether I'm in an A or a J corral, it's chip timing, like Mike said, so it really makes no difference. I start when I start, and I finish when I cross that line.
Well, Karen, before we let you go, I have a request.
Okay.
And that is that I was hoping that you would revisit a lot of the results after the weekend is over, after the dust has settled, and I'm looking forward to something that you would put out there that talks about the finishing and things that maybe you were expecting, what we're all expecting, and any other things, because I think it would be a fascinating read. So I'm putting in that request.
Well, I think I can handle that request. It might have to wait, till, let's see, I'm running Disney and Orlando, then I'm turning around and doing Tinkerbell, and then I'm doing Princess. So I'll try to squeeze it in somewhere in there.
Well, to get away from your dissertation,
very much.
It sounds like she is getting away from it. I'm going to have to talk to your advisor. But if people want to find your blog, it's at Run. You just Google Run Knit Travel.
Runknittravel.com. It's its own standalone, and I'm also on Facebook, Run Knit Travel, and I do Twitter. Who doesn't do Twitter these days? At Run Knit Travel as well.
That's great. And if you, when you return and you have some extra time and you do this requested blog that Mike is asking, if you send it to us, we'll put it on our Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page so people can,
awesome,
can see
great.
It. Thank you, Karen. This is so interesting.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you guys in Orlando.
So for Karen Neubauer of Run Knit Travel, and for Michelle Scrivener-McLean of Snowy, New Hampshire, and Mike Scoper of WW Today, we'll see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you're planning on going to the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend next year, or if you're going to go to any Disney destination, or for that matter, any non-Disney destination, it would serve you well to go visit the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. They will show you how to get the most out of your vacation dollar. And remember, they're a fee-free agency. So give them a try. Go visit the vacation planners at MEI-travel.com, MouseFanTravel.com, or just click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the road.
Hi, everybody. I made it.
Why, you made it.